In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit. Grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lady Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Ignatius,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint Athanasius,
pray for us.
All God's angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Well, good evening to all of you. First of all, I would like to thank all of you for coming. Some of you have traveled for a few miles. A lot of you have come from Jorba Linda, where I was present for 10 weeks. So I thank you for making that sacrifice to come here. I think it's only right, if I went there for 2 weeks, you should come at least for 5 weeks here, right? What's fair is fair, right? And many of you are just coming off the 10-week spiritual exercises program. So the best way to see this is an extension of what you've been doing. Okay, see it as an extension of the spiritual exercises program. And I purposely wanted to have it starting this week so that you've got so much spiritual momentum, and I don't want you to lose it. I really feel that the grace of God is working so powerfully in so many of you. So just to bring this to a screeching halt, I don't feel good with that. So given you have a lot of wind in your sails, a lot of momentum, a lot of impetus, let's open ourselves up for even more graces. Amen?
Amen.
So see this as as an extension of the 10-week program. An extension. But not only an extension, but going even deeper. You've already arrived at a certain depth through the exercises. Through your devotion to Mary, we hope and trust you're going to go even deeper in these next few weeks. So we welcome all of you, and we are in the month of May, which is the month of Mary. So liturgically, this is one of the best months to dedicate ourselves to Jesus through Mary, the month of May. Yesterday, we entered in with the feast day of Saint Joseph. So I strongly encourage you during this month to go deeper in your relation to Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph was the first with Jesus to be consecrated to Mary. Yeah, look at it that way. Joseph was consecrated to Mary. Mary was consecrated to Saint Joseph. They were consecrated to Jesus, of course. So see Saint Joseph as a person very important in these reflections, especially this first week is going to be dedicated. We're going to encounter Saint Joseph in many of your meditations. I just finished celebrating Mass, and I was praying for all of you. You're welcome. So I was praying for all of you, and this was my prayer, praying for our conversion, because we still have to be converted. Second, that all of you will grow in grace. Third, I was praying that you would become saints. And fourth, that you would have the grace of all graces to die in the state of grace. If you die in the state of grace, you're going to go to heaven. And I was also praying for your families. Because I believe many of you have sufferings because of your family members, right?
Yes.
So offer this consecration also for your family. So there's many reasons why we should do this consecration, but you want to be praying for your family members. We all have the prodigal sons, the wandering sheep in our families. So see your prayers, your meditations, also with the purpose of praying for the salvation of your family members. That should be one of your intentions when you're doing your prayer period. The next point I wanted to underline is, as I say in the exercise, I try to see this experience as you're entering into a retreat tonight. You're entering into a retreat with Mary. You're like you're entering into the cenacle with Mary, who entered in the cenacle with the apostles. So if that's the case, in addition to your meditations, I'm going to suggest a few other possibilities. If it's possible for you to go to daily Mass, go to daily Mass. I think all of you, some of you already have that habit. So I encourage you all the more to be faithful to your Holy Mass. But let's take one more step. Beg the Blessed Mother to help you to make more fervent communions. Amen?
Amen.
I repeat, beg the Blessed Mother to help you to make more fervent communions. And I think we all have to be honest. We go to Mass, but our communions can be more fervent. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
So I'm going to beg Mary for the grace to receive Jesus with the same love that she received Jesus when she said yes in the Annunciation. Okay, I've written down various ideas before I give you a contemplation for tonight. This is one of the temptations of the devil. Because the devil does not want you to do this consecration. Because the devil knows that if you do this consecration, you're really going to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus and Mary. And you're going to be a threat for him to the salvation of souls. So the devil, you're going to try to raise a lot of bulwarks, a lot of obstacles, roadblocks, so that this experience will not be carried out. Just make the decision right now that you're going to be faithful to these four weeks, because that's really all it is. It's a short experience. It's not like the 10-week program you're going to see is going to go by very quickly. So make the commitment right now that you're going to be faithful to all of the inspirations that God gives to you. And you're going to get obstacles. You're going to get temptations. But just reject them. By now you know the two standards, right? Receive the good inspirations that come from the Holy Spirit. Reject the bad that comes from the devil. Okay, one of the temptations could be this. I think this crossed all of your minds, well, most of your minds. Well, I've already done the consecration. What's the purpose of doing it again? The response is, there's no limits to the love we can have for Mary and Jesus. If I can give you an analogy, the ocean. We're not far from Seal Beach. Okay, we're 15 minutes away from Seal Beach. We're on the ocean. You can be walking along the shore and a wave comes out and breaks and splashes your feet with the foam. That's happened to all of you, probably. It's happened to me on the Atlantic Ocean. I'm from the other part of the world, right? The Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean. Or if you go out 20 miles into the ocean, you drop the anchor, it's going to be going down and down and down and down and down, almost like a bottomless pit. That is a devotion to Mary. It can be very superficial, or it can be very deep. We want to go deeper in our devotion to Mary. And when I say consecration to Mary, I say you consecrate yourself to Jesus through Mary. Okay, I'll repeat. You consecrate yourself to Jesus through Mary. But Mary is, as St. Louis de Montfort says, and as I will repeat in my book, Mary is the quickest, the easiest, the fastest, the most efficacious pathway to Jesus is through Mary. She's the shortcut. So if we really want to love Jesus, Mary is the quickest path. And if you really want to become a saint, we're all called to become saints, Mary's the quickest path. Read the lives of Colby, of de Montfort, or St. Therese, or Padre Pio, or my founder, Father Bruno Lanteri. They all say, to arrive at the heart of Jesus, you go through the heart of Mary. Amen? Arrive at the heart of Jesus through the heart of Mary. I made my first consecration in the year 1976. That was the first time. But it has to be renewed. So even though you've done your consecration in 76, that's 43 years ago, right? And after that, I wanted to become a priest. Mary inspired me to become a priest after I made the consecration to Mary. I was thinking about it, but once I finished that, it was certain. It was certain. Mary gave me that grace to want to become a priest through my consecration. So you want to try to expel that idea that I made my consecration, mission complete, mission accomplished. No, mission just started. Okay? No mission complete, but rather mission has just started. We want to go deeper and deeper. Okay, now, with respect to consecration to Jesus through Mary, there are various programs or various forms of the consecration to Jesus through Mary. Okay, one of the modern programs that is very good is Father Mike Gately, 33 Days to Morning Glory. Father Mike Gately, I was his spiritual director, okay, years ago. And he almost ordained an oblate priest, but God had other plans, so he's in another religious order dedicated to divine mercy. Very good priest, very holy priest, very prayerful priest, very dynamic priest. And he was inspired to write his consecration program, which is 33 Days to Morning Glory, which I'm praising that because I really believe it's a wonderful program. And his inspiration was taking into account the modern world, he decided, I'm going to take four modern saints, and I'm going to take four modern saints that love Mary, and I'm going to help people meditate upon their lives as well as their Mariology. And very, very good. So he chose St. Louis de Montfort, and he chose Maximilian Kolbe, and he chose Mother Teresa, and he chose John Paul II, and he chose those four spiritual giants who had so much love for Mary, and in his little booklet, he meditated upon their lives and their writings. So I really praise that work done by Father Mike Gately, and pray for him that he'll keep writing wonderful books that he's doing, okay? Okay, another one would be that of Maximilian Kolbe. Most people have heard of Maximilian Kolbe, right?
Yes.
I had the privilege of being at his canonization. Yeah. I was a young seminarian in 1980, and our seminary, our novitiate, was only about a half a mile away from St. Peter. We lived on, if you've ever been to Rome, under Janiculum, we lived there, and I was there at the canonization of Kolbe. And Kolbe, his Mariology, some of you have maybe read a little bit of Kolbe?
No.
Okay, very few. It's Immaculata. He is the Knight of the Immaculata, and he really believed that the way to conquer the biggest problem back then was the Masons, you know, back in the early 1900s. And he believed to conquer that heresy, it had to be done through Mary. So Kolbe believed that we have to consecrate ourselves to what he called the Immaculata. And he was very strong in the miraculous medal. The miraculous medal, he would carry them and he would give them up. He would call those his spiritual bullets. He'd be traveling on a train and he'd pull out that, he'd give it to the person and he'd explain it, and he really believed through the intercession of Mary, this person would arrive at a conversion. So Kolbe had a great love for Mary. He died on August 14th, which is the vigil of the Assumption, and that's his feast day, August 14th, which is the vigil of the Assumption. Okay, so I'm giving you an overview of different Mariologies and different consecrations. I think you should know that. Okay, now the greatest, and I believe that Mike Gately would agree with this, and Kolbe too, the greatest is that of St. Louis de Montfort. I defer to him as the giant, okay? Okay, most of you have heard of St. Louis de Montfort?
Yes.
It was actually his feast day on Sunday, which is actually the feast day of St. Peter Chanel and John Evaretta Mola, three saints, but it was also Divine Mercy Sunday. No? So those saints had to pull back to Divine Mercy. No? And I think that they're okay with that, okay? Don't you think? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, St. Louis de Montfort, and you're going to notice in my book how often I will quote or I'll cite St. Louis de Montfort. I'll present to you how my work is different than the others, and I'm not saying it's better. but my work is unique. There's never been a consecration by the way that I wrote this book, and you'll see once you move into it. St. Louis de Montfort, he believed that we're called to give ourselves totally to Jesus through Mary and to be slaves of Mary. It's called holy slavery. And his consecration takes the 33 days. That's what Father Mike Gately and myself, we took more or less the format of Kolbe, the chronological time element. Kolbe believed he had to spend 12 days in meditating upon the world. Very interesting. Some of you are looking at me kind of shocked. Well, some of you are saying, what the heck is that? No? The danger of the world in which we live. And if you've ever read Tanqueray, you read Roja Marin and Father Om, and you read books on spiritual theology, they say it's the most insidious. Of the devil, the flesh, the world is the most dangerous. Because we have to live in the world, right? We have to, in a certain sense, we breathe in the world, and sometimes we breathe in the worldliness, and we're not even aware of that polluting our spiritual lungs. So worldliness can insinuate itself insidiously, even in the best souls like yourselves. That's why the Ignatian daily examine helps us to pick up, well, I gave into worldliness today. I went to the mall, I bought a new dress, I've already got 25. Should I have bought the 26th dress? Probably not. Well, okay, worldliness, right? So we can easily fall prey to the world, the flesh, and the devil. So Colby has you meditating upon the world, then meditating upon oneself, then meditating upon Mary, and meditating upon Jesus. Then choosing a Marian feast day to make your consecration. So that's St. Louis de Montfort. Okay. My program that I set up was basically inspired by, inspired by who I am as a man, religious, and priest. For me, I've always had a great, great love for the rosary. So this is me. I mean, people read my books, read my articles, well, it sounds the way Father Broome preaches. Yeah, well, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So I purposely made a consecration program through the rosary because I love the rosary. I love the rosary. When I was going to Yorba Linda for those 10 weeks with Eric and Mary and sometimes Lupe Galvan, Mary and Eric, what did we do when we were driving to Yorba Linda? Just prayed a half of a rosary? So on the way from here to Yorba Linda, we would be praying not one rosary nor two, we'd pray three, and then after that, the chaplet, then we pray for the Pope, then we pray to the saints, and then we'd be pulling into the parking lot, huh? So I love the rosary. So one occasion, reading one of the documents of John Paul II, and it was the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Rosary, one of his writings. It was not an encyclical, but one of his spiritual writings, the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Rosary, in which he introduced the luminous mysteries. I read something that really jumped out at me. It was this. We have to contemplate the face of Jesus through the eyes and heart of Mary. And that jumped out at me. I repeat, to contemplate the face of Jesus through the eyes and the heart of Mary. So that's the purpose of our program. Your call during this month of May to contemplate the face of Jesus through the eyes and heart of Mary. Isn't that beautiful? What do you think? I was just, of all, the whole writing, that's the thing that jumped out at me most. And then John Paul II, with respect to that, he goes through the different times in which Mary was contemplating the face of Jesus. If you read the document, when was Mary first contemplating the face of Jesus? John Paul II says, When Jesus was in the womb of Mary, she was already contemplating his face. Think about that. Think about that. Isn't that profound? Obviously, that's through the eyes of faith, right? Isn't that a very, very beautiful pro-life passage? Very pro-life passage. Contemplating the face of Jesus when he's in the womb. So the eyes of faith. Mary will teach you to do the same. She will. Then contemplating the face of Jesus as a little baby in Bethlehem. And contemplating the little child Jesus. Contemplating the teenager coming back from the carpenter shop. Contemplating Jesus in his public life. Remember the wedding feast of Cana? So he was there looking at it, contemplating his face before he carried out his first miracle, right? Contemplating, as the prophet Isaiah points out, the suffering servant as he hangs on the cross. And you who did the exercises, remember last week, contemplating the risen face of Jesus, the glorified, luminous face of Jesus who rose from the dead. So there you have it. Now, whenever I begin a new course, I always feel it's incumbent upon me to spend at least a couple of minutes going through the protocol, but most especially the whole dimension of what are you going to be doing in your prayer period. So here's the protocol. Protocol is, we'll be starting our presentation at 7 o'clock. Today we started a little bit late because of it's the first day. We'll try to start in between 7 and 7.05, okay? Just hope that the priest that celebrates the Mass doesn't preach too long. It's usually me. It's always a danger, huh? You know me by now, huh? I'm one of those non-stop speakers, huh? Okay, then afterward today, thanks to the work of Mary, we already have enough facilitators. So it's going to be the same method you followed there in Yorba Linda. So Mary's already got the facilitators. This is of all the places where I've given missions, and I've given many, many in LA over the past 5 years with help of Elvira and my missionary team. I would say St. Martin's and St. Peter Schnell are the best. Because here you've got this building, you've got the new catechetical building, we got the new church, we have a lot of space. So I really felt very much at home at St. Martin's, but even more so here. So you'll have a lot of space. You've got rooms there. There's rooms all over the place, the new catechetical building, so we don't have to put you up in the rafters or on the roof, okay? Mm-hmm. So we'll divide you into groups, and you'll be able to get to know your facilitator and your place. And so next week, you'll be able to go right away, and you'll be able to do your sharing. It's the same protocol that you have in the spiritual exercises. How many have done the exercises? I think almost all of you. So it's nothing new. So you have a trained facilitator, and basically you'll be sharing for a couple minutes your encounter with Mary and Jesus. And we hope to have it done by 8:30, 8:40. So you're traveling back. You'll be home by 9:30 at the latest, we hope. Okay? So we'll try to get it done so you're not driving back too late. Okay? So now, moving from your protocol of sharing to prayer. As a preacher and teacher for many years, I feel I can never talk too much about prayer. Because that's the very heart of this program, like the heart of the spiritual exercises, is your conversation with God. And this one, your conversation with Jesus and Mary. So, when I gave an 8-day retreat in Alhambra, I gave 4 talks a day for 8 days. Every one of those 32 talks, I started by a 2-minute catechesis on prayer. Right, Mary? So the 32 talks, I started with a brief 2 to 3 minute catechesis on prayer. And every little catechesis was different because prayer is so important. Face it, we're all learners, no? Right?
Yes.
None of you would say, I'm John of the Cross the Second, okay? Or just call me Teresa of Avila the Second. I don't think any of us would have enough hubris or pride to say that we've arrived at transforming union and we can no longer grow in our prayer. We're all, I'm not going to use the word groveling, but we're all kind of limping. We're all limping in our spiritual life, right? But St. Augustine says, better to limp in the right direction than to fly in the wrong direction, right? St. Augustine. Okay, so I'm going to give you some pointers. Number one, sometimes it's hard to pray because our conscience is not at peace. I repeat, sometimes it's hard to pray if our conscience is not at peace. One of the greatest experiences I've ever had was knowing that in Yorba Linda, you had like 300 people made a general confession. Right, Kathy? That's a record. That's huge. I'm really thankful for those priests. They had to fly one in from New Mexico, the group of Father Groeschel. I was there sometime until 10:30 at night. You know, I actually heard the last general confession last time I went, finishing up the last group. So I say that because if your conscience is not at peace, you can't pray. I know about you. If I've done something wrong to hurt the Lord, I can't pray. My sin is right before my eyes like this. No? I got to go to a priest and make a good confession and move on. That's related to what Jesus says, blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. Right? Matthew 5:8. When I say purity, not simply sexual purity, but you know, we tarnish ourselves in many ways. No? Remember the capital sins? Jealousy and envy and pride and avarice and impatience and all those devils that want to dominate us. So it's always a good idea to the practice of frequent confession. You hear me?
Yes.
Okay, now, can you all hear me here?
Yes.
In the back too? The acoustics are here are really, really good, no? So if you can't hear me, raise your hand and say, no entiendo. Okay? Okay, next is this. Like your exercises, you have to find a time and a place. A time and a place where you're going to have your holy hour. I didn't say happy hour, I said holy hour, okay? You can be happy, holy, all, but it has to put the happy and holy together. Okay? Now there in St. Martin's, it's unique. You got the Blessed Sacrament exposed around the clock.
Yeah.
Well, that's huge. Here at St. Peter's Snow, we have it exposed from 6:30 up until 8 o'clock, so we're a little bit behind you, but hopefully one day. We did have it for about a year. And Father Greg Staub, who died about a year and a half ago, when he was here, he was able to get it. But we hope one day that we'll have it around the clock here. But we have it most of the day. So if you're in town, from the 6:30 all the way up until 8 o'clock, in between Masses, we have a beautiful church here, a beautiful monstrance, and you notice, this is somewhat like St. Martin. People are coming and going. You're always going to find about 20 people in the church, which is beautiful, isn't it? You're going to find 20 people in the church there, you're making their holy hour, visiting, talking to Jesus, talking to Mary, and you have to admit, isn't this a beautiful church?
Yes.
It's your home, too, so feel welcome, okay? But if it's not possible for you to make it here for your holy hour, but I do have an idea. I got it. We have a Mass here at 6 o'clock in the morning. We open up the door at 4:45. Ah, I got it. So you can come in between 4:45 and 5 and make your holy hour, then stay for the 6 o'clock Mass, huh? Amen or oh me? Or some of you are groaning saying, oh me, huh? So the ideal place is in front of the Blessed Sacrament. However, if not, in your home, where there has to be silence. If you don't have silence, then you really can't pray. Okay, now, in a certain sense, because of the material we give you, which is the book that I wrote, it makes it very easy because you don't have to be making photocopies. The only problem is you might lose the book, but well, then buy two more if you lose one, okay? You just have to have the text. And when you read through the text, before you arrive at the meditations, I've got about 3 pages which explains the method. So read through that. Lately, I've just been captivated by Benedict XVI, his explanation of the method of prayer called Lectio Divina, which I mentioned about 10 weeks ago. I think Lectio Divina is a very good method. And face it, we all have to use methods. You know, methods we use, almost unconsciously we use methods. Methods in cooking, methods in driving, methods in learning a language, methods in painting, even in methods in hitting a baseball, you know? Curveball, wait on it, and punch it to the opposite field. I mean, I was taught that 40 years ago, no? There's methods in everything. So even more so, there should be a method, a prayer method. So these are the words. Lectio, meditatio, contemplatio, oratio, action, and transformatio. Those are 6 words in Latin, given that we have a lot of polyglots here. Do you know what a polyglot is? It's not a bad word, no? It's someone who knows more than one language, no? When I was in Rome studying with the French Canadians and the Italians and the Portuguese, they said, what is a polyglot, someone who knows more than one language. How about a monoglot, an American? The French Canadians, the Portuguese, they'd be picking up the language. Americans are kind of struggling to pick up the Italian, no? But it's Latin, and the words are, lectio means you read. So you're going to be reading. You're going to be reading basically two texts. Okay, one text is the Bible. So you're going to be starting off by reading a biblical passage. There's no better text in the world to use for a prayer than the Word of God. Then after that, like the program of the exercises, you have a commentary. Okay, you're gonna notice that when I wrote this, I do something a little bit different. I will say, stop now and look at Mary and talk to Mary. You're going to come across that the whole program. Stop now. Stop now. You look at Mary. You have your picture. Now talk to Mary. Talk to Mary from your heart. That is what I really want after these 4 weeks, is that all of you are going to fall in love with Mary. Amen?
Amen.
You're going to fall in love with Mary. That's what I really want. Is that you all pray the rosary, but Mary might be someone that somewhat kind of distant, maybe a statue, somewhat abstract, ethereal, kind of way up there. No, what you want is Mary is going to be someone real to you. And I have to be very honest in this moment. The Blessed Mother loves you very much. I repeat, the fact that you're here tonight is a very clear sign that the Blessed Mother loves you very, very much. And that should fill you with consolation. Doesn't it?
Yes.
Now, I really said, the Blessed Mother loves you very much. You're not here by chance. It was the Blessed Mother that inspired you through her prayers to come, but she wants you to fall in love with her all the more. And I promise you, once that happens, you will experience a peace that you've never experienced in your life. We're going to see in 4 weeks. You'll experience an interior peace that you've never experienced before in your life. And a trust. And the problems you have, what's going to happen? You're going to give these problems to Mary, and then you're going to entrust those problems to her. Isn't that beautiful? You're going to entrust the problems to Mary, you know, because you will belong to Mary. Like a baby in the arms of a mother, you belong to Mary. And Mary's going to watch over you. There are a lot of mothers here. You love your children. You protect your children. The Blessed Mother loves you a million times more. Do you believe it?
Yes.
You love your children. Mary loves you a million times more. And I'm not exaggerating. But you're not going to arrive at, you never arrive at this unless you meditate upon this, upon these truths. And I think all of you know intellectually, yeah, Mary loves me, but now's the time to go from the head to the heart. That's the biggest difference, the biggest trip is going from the head to the heart. Once you're convicted in the depths of your heart of that great love that Mary has for you, your life changes. St. Augustine put it this way. Put all the love of all the mothers of all times together. Mary loves you much more than all that love of all the mothers of all the times together. St. Augustine. I repeat, put all the love of all the mothers of all time together. Put a pool. There's a lot, isn't it? The love that Mary has for you is much greater. Wow. Once you start to meditate, that'll sink in. Your father's kind of exaggerating tonight. No, I'm not. He's an English major, hyperbole. No, it's true. True. So you're going to be reading, meditating. Then contemplatio. Now in this course, in the exercises, we did a lot of meditation. Basically this course is a course of contemplation. Yep. We told you the difference between meditation and contemplation. That is basically the mode of my book. Now what is contemplation? Contemplation is this. You utilize your imagination. Ignatius calls it composition of place. You utilize your imagination. You imagine that you're really present there in the scene. For example, the Annunciation, you see Mary, you're present there, you see Mary talking with the Archangel Gabriel. Wow. You're there. I mean, you prayed that mystery before, but you're really going deep. You see the angel. You see the angel talking to Mary. Then you hear Mary say, "Behold, I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to the word." Then you see a light that covers Mary. That's the Holy Spirit. And Mary conceives through the power of the Holy Spirit. The most important moment in the history of the world, you're contemplating it. Wow. You're there in awe. You're almost speechless to be present at the most important moment in the history of salvation, and Mary wants you to be there. What are you going to tell her? Maybe just love her. Or maybe you just want to say thank you. You're called to go really deep, really deep in your spiritual life. And as Teresa of Avila says, as you grow in your spiritual life, the intellect works less and the heart dominates. Less discursive reasoning and more movements of the heart. You're resting in the scene, you're loving Mary, you're thanking her. Before you know it, the hour's already up. Then you see Mary going from contemplation to action. You see Mary, she's moving quickly. Mary was probably only about 16 years old, teenager. You mothers, you've had your teenage daughters, right? Maybe some of your grandparents have got teenage grandchildren, no? Mary is very young. And Mary's walking, and Mary says, "I want you to walk with me." You say, "Mary, you're walking too fast. You're walking too fast, I can't keep up with you." Okay, I'll slow down a little bit. Imagine Mary walking. Mary is a living Eucharistic procession. She's a Corpus Christi because she got Jesus within her. Then Mary finally arrives and she greets Elizabeth. Imagine that greeting. Mary probably said the word shalom, which means peace be with you. In that moment, the baby leaps within the womb of Elizabeth and she says, "Blessed are you among women and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" The sound of your greeting, the baby leapt for joy. And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoiced in God my Savior because you looked upon the lowliness of his handmaid, the Magnificat. There you are in that encounter between two of the most holy women in the world, Mary and the mother of John the Baptist. Then you're there in Bethlehem. Maybe you've never done this, but there you're in Bethlehem and Jesus is born and you're contemplating Jesus in the arms of Mary. This could be a wonderful, look at the eyes of Mary contemplating the eyes of that little baby who was just born 2 hours before. As you're contemplating Mary looking in the eyes of Jesus, Mary looks at you and says, would you like to take the little child? Would you? Would you?
Yes.
So Mary gives you the child Jesus. And when Mary's passing you the child Jesus, both Mary and Saint Joseph are looking at you, but they're looking at you. Imagine if you do this type of contemplation, how your life is going to change. You can do it, but you've never been trained yet. You've never been trained yet. But you can do it. And there you are holding him. Kiss his little forehead. And you place him to your heart, and you feel his heart beating close to your heart. You got the sacred heart of Jesus beating close to your heart. It's the sacred heart. That sacred heart was formed in the womb of Mary. Maybe you pray the litany of the sacred heart of Jesus formed in the womb of Mary, have mercy on us. And you move from there to the prophecy of Simeon. This man was waiting maybe for 40 years. And then Jesus is in the arms of Mary with Joseph. Imagine the joy of this man seeing the Savior. Waiting for 40 years. And every day you can contemplate the same Jesus on the altar. There in St. Martin's or St. Peter's Chanel, it's the same Jesus. We're kind of spoiled, aren't we? Huh? Spoiled a little bit, huh?
Yeah.
He had to wait maybe 40, maybe 50 years, and every day we're contemplating the same Jesus there. And then you move from there. Jesus is 12 years old. Has a mother ever lost her child? Ever happened to you? You lost your child maybe once? Maybe it was 5 minutes. Seemed to be 5 centuries, huh?
Yes.
Well, in this case, 3 days. Imagine being with Mary and St. Joseph looking for Jesus for 3 days. You're entering into the heart of Mary. My interpretation is this, that Mary suffered that because many mothers and fathers today, their children are lost. They no longer go to the temple. They no longer go to church. So Mary actually suffered that for you. You suffer because your children who once went to church no longer practice their faith. So Mary went through that. So you can identify your suffering with her suffering. This is called contemplatio. Contemplatio means you're entering into the scene and you become, you're not a passive spectator like a movie. No. Movie, you're passive. Spectator. Sitting there eating popcorn or whatever it might be. Whereas contemplations is you're an active participant. You're engaged in it. You're becoming part with it. And that contemplatio leads you to oratio. Oratio means prayer. Where you open up your heart and you talk to Mary. You talk to Mary. I think all of us have our, we all have our hidden sorrows, thorns, wounds, fears, anxieties, insecurities, doubts. We all have that in the inner recesses of our hearts. That you should open up and talk to Mary about that. Something that's causing you suffering that you simply don't have enough courage to tell anyone about. Talk to Mary about that. You know what's going to happen? Either Mary can intervene and she can solve it. She can move the mountain. Mary turns to Jesus and says, Jesus, that woman has a serious problem. As you turn water into wine, can you please resolve that problem? She can do that. She's just as powerful today as she was 2,000 years ago. That woman is going through a lot of suffering. Lord, turn her water into wine. But it could be this way, is that Mary's praying for you and turns to Jesus, and Jesus says, no, I'm not going to resolve that problem, but rather Mary's going to share your suffering with you. Sometimes that's better. Yeah. Because if the problem is taken away, sometimes we become complacent, we pray less. But when we got the problem, sometimes it makes us to pray more and be more humble, more fervent, and more persevering. Mary knows what's best. Mother knows best, huh? She knows what's best. So as I said, talk to Mary. Don't hold anything back. Talk to Mary. She's a great listener. When you talk to her, she hears your words. She understands them, but she understands them especially in the depths of her heart. She understands the meaning of your words. She interprets them in her intellect because Mary is highly intelligent. But Mary, in the depths of her heart, she knows you more than you know yourself. You think you know yourself? Mary knows you better than you know yourself. So that's oratio. And then after oratio, you have what is called axio. As Mary went from the Annunciation to the Visitation, what's going to be happening in your life is the fruits of your prayer, you're going to be putting them into practice in your life. That's going to happen. In other words, your prayer life is going to transform your active life so that you can become a contemplative in action, as they say. A contemplative in action. You're moving from one activity to the next, but you're aware of God's presence because Mary is walking with you. That's oratio. Rather, that's axio, from prayer to action. And if you have lexio, meditatio, you have contemplatio, you have oratio, you have axio, you end with transformatio. What does that mean? transformation. St. Paul says, no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Have you ever heard that?
Yes.
No longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. You're starting to imitate Jesus and Mary. So there you have it. And you'll finish your meditation, try to give yourself an hour. And then at the very end, what you're going to be doing is, as in the exercises, pull out your pen and write down, how did Mary speak to you? How did you spend that time with Mary? What was the inspiration you received? What did you learn from Mary? You write that down. And then, next week, in our sharing group, you'll be able to share one of your insights to the group. And every one of you that shares, as Father Tim Gallagher says, you're walking on holy ground. Every one of you is important. Every one of your meditations, that's holy ground. Like Moses was walking on holy ground. Your prayer period is holy ground. Very important. And the beauty is, if you're in a group of 10, everyone receives a different insight, a different inspiration. So I will, I'm going to offer a novena for all of you. So starting tomorrow, in my masses, I'm going to be placing all of you on the altar, and your family and your loved ones. My intention will be that this will be the best month in your life. Because this month, what's that?
Okay.
I really believe it. This is going to be the best month in your life because it's a month in which you're going to give yourself totally to Mary, and Mary's going to give you to Jesus. You're going to be finding your refuge in two hearts, the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So may God bless all of you. Let's place this retreat in the hands of Mary, the Heart of Mary, as we say. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so Mary going to be dividing the groups now? Yeah. Be seated for a minute. Mary's going to do the division. Yeah.